Welcome back. It is April 25th, 2018, season two, episode 43 of the Let Me Be Frank podcast. Brian and Pete here with you. Playoff season is well underway. We have big news as Meek Mill is free. He's a free man. He rang the bell to open up the 76ers game tonight, Tuesday, as we're recording. Everyone, I'm sure, by the time this comes out, has heard plenty about it and seen the video. Just such a great day in general.
How free is Meek Mill? On a scale of one to America, he's banging the Liberty Bell before the 76ers game tonight. So
that's correct.
I think it's about as free you can get.
Pretty much as free as you can get. It is playoff, like I said, playoff season, NBA, NHL underway. We'll start in the NHL. Boston, Toronto, last series left in the first round here. Going to game seven. Maple Leafs have forced it with a win in game six. It's been a fun one to watch, especially for more casual NHL fans. A lot of goals, a lot of big hits, some feistiness between the two teams. Should be an exciting game seven. Then we've got the rest of the Eastern Conference. It is the Caps year to win at least a first round series. They beat the Blue Jackets in six games, 4-2, a series where every game went to overtime. The Blue Jackets couldn't hang on, and thanks for playing Columbus. This is the Caps' time.
I'm pretty happy they're going on.
Unfortunately for them, they are running into the buzzsaw that is the Pittsburgh Penguins, back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, and they looked really good against Philadelphia in the first round.
Yeah, and I came across a stat earlier that said, not including this year, the Caps have made the playoffs 27 times. They faced the Penguins 9 or 10 times, and they've lost 9 times. So,
I mean,
good luck.
Yeah, this matchup happened last year. It did not go well for the Capitals, obviously, with Pittsburgh winning the Stanley Cup, but third time's the charm, right?
All right, hold on. I shouldn't be thinking out loud of how I'm making this joke, but I'm trying to think of a joke with the Paris Climate Agreement and Pittsburgh.
Very weird because I just watched a video on the Paris Climate Agreement.
With ice and Pittsburgh saying they would still follow it. I can't think of it on the fly, but there's a joke in there somewhere.
Somewhere. Someone will get it to us. It'll get there.
I made the outline. You just need to finish the draft.
Yep. Yep. Someone color it in for us. On the Western Conference side, Winnipeg and Nashville matching up. It's going to be a hard-hitting contest. Winnipeg is huge. They rip heavy shots. They like to shit pump teams, but that's exactly what Nashville likes to do as well. Should be a real fun series, real entertaining. And then the Golden Story, the Golden Knights, Vegas. People forget. They're still in the playoffs. They won so long ago that they forget. Swept the LA Kings. They now move on to play the San Jose Sharks in a game that can get them to, in a series that will get them to the Western Conference Finals. Do you believe in Vegas?
Oh, 100%. The house always wins.
That should be a playoff shirt right there. Holy shit.
I did not think of it. I saw it on the internet, but it's a great slogan.
Fuck. I was about to just end this podcast right now and start making shirts.
No, I won't take that credit.
Damn.
Whoever thought of it, though, fucking damn good slogan.
Hat tip to that person.
The Redditor named Terror of Texas. So,
all right. Shout out them.
Yep.
That is the NHL playoffs. If you want more in-depth coverage of it, the guys over at Go With The Flow, that's Go With The Flow, G-O With The Flow podcast, drop episodes weekly to discuss the NHL playoffs more in-depth. Let's move on to the NBA. As I mentioned, Meek Mill is a free man and ringing the Liberty Bell at the home game for the Sixers with the chance to close out the Heat.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you imagine if the Founding Fathers knew what we would be doing with the Liberty Bell in 2018? Having a former convicted felon come out and slam it before a basketball game?
This man was freed no less than 12 hours ago. From a prison, a federal facility, and he is slamming the Liberty Bell.
You know what someone brought up recently is that if the Sixers and the Raptors meet in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's Meek versus Drake.
Again.
And
I need it. I need it, honestly.
And I give Meek the edge in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, Drake's coming off soft. He told John Wall, you about to get swept, and it's a 2-2 series right now. So I don't know. It was a bad look for Drake.
I'm kind of supporting Drake right now as Raptors' number one fan, because he called Kelly Oubre a bum, and I'm fully in support of that, because Kelly Oubre is the softest dude I've ever seen, and he wore a Supreme sleeve, which started one of the worst style trends in the NBA this season.
It's a tough look all around, I think, for every guy involved there. No one really comes out a winner in these situations.
Drake's talking Drake, a guy named Aubrey, is talking shit to a guy named Kelly. So.
Yeah, Aubrey and Kelly are going at it. No, this is not a suburban sixth grade girl fight.
But yeah, I think the Sixers, you know what? I think with Meek Mill opening up the game here at home, I think the Sixers are going to close it out in five.
I think they have to lose this one. I don't think there's any way it's possible. They can win this game. There's too much emotion. And if they do, they're just going to be set up for an emotional letdown in the next round.
I mean, I think they're going to blow the roof off the place if they do win. But I could see it. They're really young.
Who's a bigger Philadelphia hero, though? Like, who can they rally behind for the next round? They need to slowly one-up their way to the finals. Otherwise, they're going to blow their load too early and they'll be done.
Philly really clings on to the weirdest heroes. Like, they have a fake boxing legend, and then just Meek Mill, a guy who lost in a rap battle to Jimmy, the kid in the wheelchair from Degrassi. Jimmy.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's Philadelphia though for you.
Yeah, the fallen heroes. But yeah, I'm saying Sixers went to pull it out tonight. Going to a couple of the, I guess, less interesting series. Raptors Wizards are 2-2. I haven't really gotten into it at all, to be honest.
It has not been fun to watch, and that's probably one of the series I watched more of than any other one, and I'm very ashamed of myself.
Like, I hate the Wizards in general because they're such hardos for no reason, and
they are, but they aren't.
Why aren't they?
Because it's only like opportune shit talking. It's not like OKC where they're always talking shit, and then when they go down, then they're really talking shit and like trying to start fights. Washington is like, they'll randomly just pick a fight with a team.
Yeah, they just haven't won anything yet, and they kind of have the bravado like they do.
Like the inconsequential play in, I can't, game three maybe, where Bradley Beal was trying to take the ball away from, I don't know, Ibaka maybe, and then John Wall got in the mix. Like, it was such an inconsequential play. Nothing should have happened. And then all of a sudden, John Wall says some mouths off to Serge Ibaka, and a full blown fight almost breaks out. Like, you're up by 10. What are you doing?
Yeah, something about John Wall also rubs in the wrong way. Like, he's the guy who always gets pissed off that guys are making more money than him. But he
does nothing to help himself.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's typical Toronto playing to even with the 8 seed. So I'm gonna say Raptors in 7 in this one. If Toronto loses this series, then I think Meek ultimately won the battle, the beef between those two.
I mean, who's more beloved in their city? People are asking.
I mean, people love a redemption story, so I say Meek right now.
I think it has to be Meek, because you don't know what you've got till it's gone, and Meek was gone. He was literally gone, and then they brought him back.
I'm all for it. And moving to your favorite player, not Carmelo, but LeBron James. He has had to play out of his ass to keep this season series even at 2-2. Victor Oladipo and the Pacers are keeping up with the Cavs in every sense of the word. Outside of LeBron, they're not getting much production. They're really feeling Kyrie's absence. Love hurt his hand again. We don't know how he's going to be for the game, I think tonight, if you're listening. I think the Cavs pull this out in 6, but this does not look good for facing, who would they face in the next round? This was
the
for
one Philly. Seed.
No, they'd face Philly in the next round. Or no,
they'd face.
No, they would face Toronto. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
But I, yeah, okay. So I trust any LeBron team against Toronto. So that's
yes.
fine.
I will go the opposite way. Like I said, I had the take last week that the Cavaliers will not make the conference final, let alone the final. Or Cleveland won't make the NBA finals. I also happened to throw in last week because I was feeling good about it and will not make the. They looked pretty darn good in their game, but I think the Cavs lose in seven in this series. I think LeBron has three historic games in a row, and his team is just nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and it's happened way too often for LeBron. It sucks to say that he just has to drag bits and pieces to the finish line most seasons.
I don't think it sucks. It's his own doing. It is
partially his own doing. Yeah, all
the time it's his own doing.
The way he demands that a team plays for win now year after year is pretty detrimental to a franchise long-term health. So he has to shoulder some of the burden.
Yeah, I think a vast majority of it. And did you see the picture of Ty Lue outside the team huddle drawing up a play late in the game the other day?
No, I didn't see that.
Completely out of the huddle. Not even there. He is coaching this team. I mean, just confirming what everyone thought.
No, it's fine. Tristan Thompson can run the team. He knows.
He can't even run his own life. I love that. I think the Cavs are done, though. I think they lose in seven.
I think they lose. That would be a hell of a come up for Victor Oladipo.
Victor Home Depot.
And I mean, we talked about this last week. The bigger storyline out of that series is that if they lose, LeBron's 100% gone. So that just,
yeah.
The media frenzy is already starting then. And every Lakers fan is going to start photoshopping his jersey, the Lakers jersey, onto him.
Yeah, I think even the bigger story than that is that Lance Stephenson is going to be the most popular player in the NBA.
Oh, I have fallen back in love with Lance Stephenson. I don't get why he only works on Indiana, but it does.
Yep, he works nowhere else. And he has to be in the Crossroads State.
I've never seen a man run down a court like Twinkle Toes more so than Lance Stephenson out of anyone I've ever seen in my life.
Just everything he does during the game is just astounding.
He actually prances. Like,
yes. It's a trot. He's like a racehorse before a race. He's just trotting around on the court, like doing all sorts of fancy shit. And then he turns it on.
He will pull up for like a 25-footer with like 15 seconds left of the shot clock with absolutely no hesitation. Just, yeah, I got this shit. Like, just pulls up as if he's like the number one option on this team.
I mean, that's Brooklyn. That's Brooklyn, New York, right there. That's what he does. That's where he's from. That's what they do.
Good for him. I love the guy. He gets under LeBron's skin. Like, he got LeBron to shove him.
Oh my god! I mean, that was incredible.
LeBron had a pretty good analogy that he was saying, like Lance, the class clown, total joke. LeBron laughed. The teacher reprimanded him.
Yeah, I mean, it works. But how many times has LeBron done that? He can't bitch about someone getting him when he's done that so many times.
Oh, no, he can't. But all right, so you think Cavs lose? I'm going to say Cavs in six because if LeBron lets this team lose, I don't know what to say. As a LeBron stan, I would be speechless. Moving to a less interesting series, Warriors are leading Spurs 3-1. There's really no doubt in the series. Mono turned back the clock in game four to give them one more game, I guess. I don't really have anything else to say in the series, Brian. Do you?
This is a boring series. Boring games. These are boring. I don't know. Like, this is what Manu Ginobili does. He'll randomly appear he's like the cicadas. They come out every 17 years. He comes out like every 17 games and is dominant. And you're like, holy shit, where is this guy? And then, you know, he disappears for the next 16 and all of a sudden he's back.
Yeah, and God bless him for it. I think he's going to come back next year. I'm not positive.
He's got to. He'll probably play till he's like 44.
I mean, he can still go off in huge games as he showed last night.
Him being able to dunk is probably the greatest upset of all time.
Dude, he's the best player from an entire continent.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. He is significantly the best player.
That's got to be an awesome feeling to go back to Argentina and be, yeah, this entire landmass, I own it.
Yep, this is me. This is my place.
speaking of people from other continents, Steven Adams and the Oklahoma City Thunder are down 3-1 to the Utah Jazz. Your guy Russ is
angry.
He's getting dead. Well, Donovan Mitchell is his father right now.
Let's calm down here.
And he also got taunted by Mitt Romney.
That was a tough look.
Yeah, got taunted by the guy with the jersey over the button down.
First off, I want to say Mitt looked good. He looked very svelte. He looked like he belonged. Like, for a guy putting a jersey over a button down, the worst possible look you could have, he pulled it off.
Oh yeah, and he was on point with the taunting. Like the four fouls is cracking me up.
I love that he wasn't in like the courtside seats. I like that he was up a little bit behind the scorer's table.
He was in the mass of people, showing the voters he's the man of the people.
Man of the people.
You know what? I think he needed to do that since he didn't secure the GOP nomination. So he's gonna have to do some more campaigning.
This is all going to pay dividends come November 2020.
That 49% of the vote's going to shoot up to 65 right away. Yep. This is the best thing that could have happened for his campaign.
It is. I will say I had the Thunder in 7 all along. I'm going to stick with it. Donovan Mitchell's been way better than I expected. Playoff P has not appeared whatsoever. Continuing to prove that he's really not playoff P and there's no such thing as playoff P, but it's Russ's team. He needs to make something happen. And whether that's punching Carmelo Anthony in like the back of the knee, forcing him to sit for 2 games, I don't know what he has to do, but he has to do something.
I saw a thread on Twitter on Monday that was just basically just gifs of Carmelo being like honey baked ham on pick and rolls.
God damn it.
Just trying to defend a guard on a pick and roll. He's just toast in any defensive situation. There's people calling for Jeremy Grant to start over him.
He should.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I've been saying it.
I mean, it would create an enormous ego clash, which would just be more fun for us. But
that's fine. Let Melo bitch on the bench. He's not going to go anywhere. He's not going to do anything. No, you know what? What needs to happen is Russ needs to come back into the locker room like late for game 5. And then, you know, look all tired and Melo will be like, yo, Russ, what's up? And he just has to pull out the old KG. Your wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios. And that's what kept me up last night. Then they'll be back because then OKC will have to suspend Melo when he tries to murder Russell Westbrook. And then Russ will be fired up with adrenaline for that game. Game 5 is theirs. And then all of a sudden we got a series.
So we bait Melo into a murder.
An attempted murder.
Attempted murder. And then while he's in custody, they get the series victory.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I see the vision.
He is then later freed for the second round when it doesn't matter. In a triumphant return, completely unlike Meek Mill.
Just to give you a few stats on Russ here, just so we're not letting him off the hook. Okay. This playoff so far, he is the worst offensive rating, worst plus minus, worst field goal percentage, worst 3-point percentage on the Thunder.
He is playing with cancer. He is literally playing with cancer.
All right. Raymond Felton may have the body of a hard boiled egg, but their playoff P has been there in spurts. And Steve Adams is so strong, he got elbow in the face and looked like he sneezed. So it's not nothing.
All right. I don't know what to say. I mean, I just think Russ is going to go off in game 5. He'll have like 40-something. Playoff P will pump in like 25, and they'll be good.
I get the shivers every time you say playoff P. I hate it.
Yep, so do I.
But, yeah, I'm going to go Jazz in 7. And you're going to say Thunder in 7?
Thunder in 7.
All right, that would be a hell of a series. And then, Celtics-Bucks playing Tuesday night. Game is ongoing as we're recording. Marcus Smart's back from the hand injury. This is another series I haven't really been that interested in. I'm not at all.
I tried to watch it, and I couldn't do it.
There's not a lot of talent going on. It's one really talented player versus a very well-coached team. Yep. Which is basically just like the white travel team versus the really talented inner city travel team in grade school.
I like how you kept it PC there.
It's not the most it's really not interesting in my opinion. Marcus Smart coming back. I watched the first half. He's been pretty scrappy. And he also in the halftime interview, not the kind of voice I expected him to have, a little too high for my liking.
Yeah, for a guy that went after a fan when he was in college, you really expect him to have like a deep, musky tone.
He absolutely does not have that.
Like almost a grovel.
Yeah, it's way too high. But I'll say for the series, I'm gonna stick with Celtics in seven.
I'll be different. I'll go Bucks in six.
So you're going with the, let's see, five seed winning. Let's see, five seed, seven seed. Did you go Wizards or Raptors?
I said the Raptors.
Okay. All right, so just the five of the seven seed. And then moving on to the final series, Rockets Wolves, they're up 3-1, pretty much have the series in hand. But that last game, Derrick Rose is basically the only player who's trying to win this game for the Wolves.
And it's insane. It is completely insane. Like, I think Tibbs should be fired for how bad of a coaching job he's done in the playoffs, but I also think he should get coach of the year because he has brought 2011 Derrick Rose back.
It truly brings a tear to my eye seeing him just sprint past everyone else on the court for an acrobatic layup. Just brings back so many good memories. And like, I've liked watching this series the most, honestly, because they're the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And
It's
even though all these players are now basically nailed to the ground because of how Tibbs has grinded their legs to into Parmesan cheese, it's still really fun to watch. And Thibodeau is easily the best coach to listen to during a game because he's the only guy you can catch that his voice, the mic picks up his voice when he yells.
perfect.
So you hear every call that the Timberwolves have,
Yep.
which is
It's
another.
really easy to game plan against him.
But yeah, I honestly, I like. As much as Tibbs is getting criticized, I can't even like they weren't talented enough. Even if they did execute, they wouldn't beat the Rockets. James Harden went 0 for 7 to start the game and finished with 36 and outscored the Timberwolves 22 to 20 in the third quarter.
They put up 50 points in a quarter. Like a Tom Thibodeau team can't do that most nights in two quarters.
Yeah, so there was no hope of them winning either way. There's going to be rumblings about Tibbs' coaching job over the summer, regardless. So, and I think it's valid too.
Yeah, I think it is too. But I think the way to combat this is to demote Tibbs to defensive coordinator and hire an offensive mind like Mike D'Antoni and then get them to run each half of the team. So when they're on defense, Tibbs will stand and coach the guys up. And then when they're on offense, D'Antoni gets up and starts coaching the boys.
Dan D'Antoni should be hired as the offensive guru.
Yes, the electric factory that is Dan.
With the t-shirt and blazer combo would just
He has to wear the Marshall t-shirt every game.
with the combination of Thibodeau's tie just like clinging for its life against its 17 and a half inch neck with Dan D'Antoni with a t-shirt and blazer. It'd be a nice contrast.
It would.
But yeah, those are the series. I think the most interesting one right now is Cavs, Pacers, and Jazz Thunder, even though that series is 3-1. But yeah, hopefully LeBron and Russ can pull these series out.
Russ, you mean, not LeBron. Victor Oladipo.
Ah, yes.
We'll move on to the NFL draft. We've got a special guest to talk about it, but first, you and I are going to do a little precursor to it. The Browns with the first and fourth pick. How do they fuck this up?
They go two quarterbacks?
So, is going two quarterbacks worse than going no quarterbacks?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. That would make sense then. Who do you want the Packers to take?
Oh God, probably a corner.
All right. This is riveting radio right now.
I
Yeah, I mean, they have needs. They can get a shutdown corner probably at their pick, or if they have to trade up, they can do it as well. Draft picks aren't the biggest need for the Packers. They just need certain positions. Other than that, The NFL draft, when we were young, used to always be held at Radio City Music Hall. Do you like them moving it around?
Yeah, oh yeah, because every city has to like pull out all the stops. Because I know Chicago did a fantastic job.
Damn right.
Where is it this year?
Dallas.
Oh, then oh my God, I can't even imagine what's like. Everything is just going to be. The NFL in general is huge with everything. Heavy in Dallas. I can't even imagine the festivities going on.
Yes, so we will kick it now to our interview with Matt Barbato of NewYorkJetFuel.com.
We're now joined by our favorite recurring guest.
Wow.
Yep. You better believe it.
Oh,
Matt Barbato, New York Jet Fuel, NYJetFuel.com, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, still barely functioning, but it's still going. We're going to get back going now that the draft's here. Had a bit of an off-season hiatus. But yes, NYJetFuel.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. He is here to talk NFL draft with us. First and foremost, thanks for coming on again. We always appreciate it.
Well, if you're going to call me your favorite recurring guest, and you don't have to thank me for coming on, you pretty much just paid me the best compliment that any – like, there's like the – you know, there's the pinnacle of being a podcast guest, and I think it ends at the tipping point is favorite recurring guest. So I am honored to be owning that label.
It's well, chill out. It's very temporary and could be handed to anyone else at any point. So
just I kind of had a feeling. I have a feeling you tell that to just every guest you have on, but you know what? I'll take the win.
Yeah, it's like talking to any girl at a bar saying you're the most beautiful one at the bar. So,
all right, Pete, we're not going down that womanizing path.
Let's talk draft. The Browns have the first and the fourth pick. Pete and I talked about it a little bit earlier. Is it worse for them to take two quarterbacks or zero quarterbacks?
I think it's worse if you take zero. Because, I mean, you would think they'd have to take at least one. And I know it's Cleveland. And taking two, I guess, I mean, if you want to hold, you know, the second or third best quarterback on your board for ransom and see if someone will, you know, trade you some steep value for him. But at this point, I don't really think the Browns can really be in a position where it's like, yeah, we're terrible at drafting quarterbacks, but let's get the one we love at number one, and then let's get like a Saquon Barkley to help him out at number four. I think that's the best case scenario for the Browns. If they don't take a quarterback, then maybe they should just disband as a franchise, honestly. And I've said that about the Jets before, but the Browns are probably like the team that is closest to just throwing in the towel and just saying, you know what, we're just going to go away.
So that's a good start, because who are your top three just prospects overall in the draft? I know you've been doing some research. The Jets have they traded up to three, right?
Yeah, traded from 6 to 3 with the Colts.
Okay, so they're obviously going quarterback. So who are your top three prospects? And then I guess let's go with who do you think's going number one before we go anywhere else?
Hmm. Okay, so top three prospects. I think it has to be – I don't know. I really like Saquon Barkley. I think he is, you know, he is by far the best athlete in this draft. I think he can just bring a lot to any offense. I know this is a very deep running back class. So if you miss out on Barkley in that top five, if you really like him, I think there are other guys who could sort of pull a Kareem Hunt or an Alvin Kamara from last season. So Barkley would be my number one. I'll go Bradley Chubb number two, because not only is he the best edge rusher in this draft class, but he's also a premium because this is not a very good draft class at that position. And then, you know, number three is tough. You could insert a lot of guys. You could throw a quarterback in there. I'm going to go with a safer option here. I'm going to go with Quentin Nelson. I know the positional value isn't incredibly high for an offensive guard, and it looks like that's where he's going to play for, you know, the entirety of his career. But from what I've read, from what I've seen, he seems like he might be the safest pick in this entire draft. And he might also be the guy who just has a really, really outstanding career. And I know people are, it's a little far to say he's going to have a Hall of Fame career, but he's on that path. He's that good. So I would say he's number three, even though the positional value is not spectacular. And I don't think he can kick out the tackle. Who I think will go number one, I have to think it's going to be Darnold. I know there was a report today from Schefter saying, the Browns are seriously considering Baker Mayfield. My thought on that is any information, any reports, any mention of the word interest or interested or any other, you know, tense, I throw that out this time of year, because especially with 48 hours until the draft, it's misinformation season. So mm-hmm. I don't think the Browns are going with Mayfield. I know Mel Kiper has been very much on the Josh Allen train, and I respect him for being consistent with that from start to finish. But this is a pick the Browns can't screw up. And if you were to ask me which quarterback is most likely to blow up in your face, it'd be Josh Allen. So I think the Browns go with the safest pick. Even though he's not my top quarterback on my board, I think the Browns take Sam Darnold out of USC.
And Beto, do you think with Belichick having two draft picks in the first round, do you think he's more likely to go up or just trade down for basically every second round draft pick next year?
He's just going to monopolize the second round pick in 2027.
The Patriots are now on the clock for the next 3 hours.
Yeah. You know what? And it's weird because they have 23 and 31, I think. I think Bill's going to feel it out. I think, and this is, I was on another podcast, not to say I'm not cheating on you guys or anything, but I love,
you know, hurt.
I love spreading the jewels around. Ooh, right? So I can't help myself. I'm a podcast whore. But I said, you know, where that fourth quarterback falls is really going to be, like, I think the most, besides what the Giants do at number two, where the fourth quarterback ends up is probably going to be the really big pivot point in this draft. So if there's a scenario where maybe the Dolphins pass on a quarterback at number 11, say like someone's hanging out there, or maybe it's a Lamar Jackson that the Patriots try and trade up for, I could see it. But I don't think it's in Belichick's nature to package a couple of picks to move up for a quarterback. I think he's more likely to take maybe a guy like Mason Rudolph at number 31. Maybe if Jackson's hanging around by 23, they take a shot on him. But the Patriots, you know, I don't think they're going to – they could go for a guy like Rudolph because it's the 31st pick, or they could trade back and take him in the second round on day two. Something tells me they won't be trading up, though.
Who's going to be the team that's desperate to trade up after, you know, the top three quarterbacks go? Is it going to be a team like Buffalo, or maybe we'll see Miami?
I would say Buffalo. All reports indicate that Miami is not going to trade up. And again, it's misinformation season, but I could see Miami sitting and waiting. I mean, they're in a tough spot at number 11 because you could see three quarterbacks going in the top five picks. And then maybe there isn't one taken until number 11. Maybe Josh Allen or someone is still on the board. Maybe even Josh Rosen is still on the board by the time Miami picks. So I don't think it'll be Miami. I think the team to watch is going to be Buffalo because they have the most draft ammunition. I can't remember. I think they have like five picks in the top 90 or something. They have a ridiculous amount of draft capital where they can make a move up and maybe entice the Giants to trade down. They're going to be the team to watch. I know Denver, John Elway said their number five pick is, you know, open for business. Again, that's just, you know, press conference, GM 2 days before the draft speak. But that's a potential landing spot. I could see the Colts trading back down again. I could see them trading six spots or however many it is to make a deal with Buffalo. I think Buffalo, and if not Buffalo, then Arizona. Because Arizona is kind of in a messy situation. I mean, I know they have Bradford, but do we know if Sam Bradford has a knee yet?
Sammy Sleeves and Mike Glennon are on the roster. Right. So I think they're pretty set at quarterback.
You know what? I completely forgot about Glennon. That's how big of a signing that was. But yeah, they have a mess. Their whole roster sucks. I mean, Arizona could be really bad this year. But they need a quarterback. They've needed one for quite some time, and they've sort of been just holding off on drafting one, thinking Carson Palmer was just going to stay healthy for, you know, the next 5 years. I could see. So if not Buffalo, I would say Arizona is that team to watch that could move into the top eight or nine to get a quarterback they like.
Pedro, did you see the report that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are having a parrot announce their third day draft picks?
And do you I did not hear that.
They're having an actual parrot announce the draft picks, and do you think this is respecting Roger Goodell and the Shield?
I think it's extremely disrespectful to Goodell because he pretty much is already a parrot for the owners. So I think it's extremely disrespectful to impersonate Roger Goodell with a live parrot.
What's next? But will they have an actual live gold miner announced for the 49ers? What is next?
Well, in the same breath, though, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So, I don't know. It feels like a corrupt
parrot. Let me put it that way. It's the parrot that steals all the bird feed from the other parrots.
I could see they could probably get away with secondhand criticism of the NFL if they just have the parrot say it.
That's true.
I think the parrot will be amused. I mean, they got to bring out like a janky looking pirate, though, right? Like they can't, like, because that completes the whole Buccaneers thing. Like a guy with a peg leg and a, you know, dress up Warren Sapp for all I care in a pirate outfit, give him an eye patch, a peg leg, and just bring the parrot out there and see what happens. But
a true swashbuckler.
So are we saying there's Peggy the pirate and that,
yes,
that fake parrot from SpongeBob is going to come out and announce these picks?
That's an idea.
I don't hate it.
I like that. I like that. We should. I'll try and make a call to my sources in Tampa. Is Lovie Smith still there? Oh no, wait, no, he's gone.
He is in Champagne. Matthew.
We'll see what I can do. We'll see what I can do. Oski. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean disparage.
honest to God, though, that's a missed. It's a missed opportunity that the Bucks haven't taken that chance yet with the SpongeBob pirate.
Yeah, seriously. They need something good to happen in that franchise because they're just one of those franchises. You're like, are they ever going to be good? You know, I don't know. Maybe Patchy the Pirate can make something happen for him.
Go ahead, Brian.
That's you, Brian.
All right. Looking at another team that's right in that area that hasn't been good in a little while and really needs something, who do the Bears take at number 8?
Well, it seems like every draft expert says Quentin Nelson. I think if he's on the board, I think it makes sense to take him. I'm not so sure he'll be there, though. And I think Indianapolis is the team to watch. Mm-hmm. Now, the Colts have like 10 million needs. They are one of the most depleted rosters in the league. And there are guys there like Minka Fitzpatrick. If Bradley Chubb is still there at 6, I think he could be a pick for the Colts. You know, Derwin James could be around. The Colts have needs all over the field, so I think it'll be a matter of who's available. If Chubb slips to 6, then I think it's a safe bet that Nelson will go to the Bears. But, you know, if there's a scenario where the Browns maybe take Chubb at 4, if I'm Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, and I'm staring a potential, you know, Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl right guard in my face to protect Andrew Luck and keep him upright, I'll take that guy. I don't know. I think the Bears will either take Nelson or I think they will take potentially Roquan Smith is an option. Mm-hmm. If he's hanging around at 8, but I know his draft stock is really, really elevating. So he could be off the board by then. You know, I know safety is not an immediate need, but maybe a Derwin James. And then I'd say Denzel Ward's another guy to consider. I will go with the consensus here, and I will assume that Nelson is still on the board at 8, and I think the Bears will take him. And I think that's a good pick. I think it's, you know, fortifying that offensive line for 10 God Mitch Trubisky is important. So I think they go with Quentin Nelson at number 8 overall.
And unrelated to the draft here, what do you think of the Bears alternate logo they revealed recently?
God.
I got to check it out. Hold on. Let me Google it real quick, and I'll give you a live reaction. I have not seen it.
It's really bad.
Logo. I know they're bringing back the
don't
the orange jerseys.
Don't put anything into his head yet, Brian. I want to hear a live reaction.
I got to see this. Bears form monster partnership with Denow. To Donald. What are you talking about?
Type in Chicago Bears alternate logo.
I did.
Really? That's not coming up?
What's it? Is it
it's just orange with, like, teeth.
Oh, is it this orange bear-looking thing?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible. I think – honestly, I think why are the Bears changing their logo? They don't really have – they don't have an issue with their logo. I think that bear is, like, one of the best logos. Like, you see it on a hat, and I'm like, that's a badass hat. I don't know. I have no problem with their logo, their current logo. This new one looks stupid. It looks like, you know, we got the millennial snowflakes who want a nice, cuddly bear. This guy doesn't intimidate me at all.
Well, I don't know if we're looking at the same one, Beto, but it's literally just a bear teeth. There's no bear in it. It's just a set of teeth.
Really? Teeth shaped in an M.
Hold on. What?
I can't find it either, Brian. I don't know where this is going. This is coming up.
It's on their Facebook page and Twitter page, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm pretty sure it's their profile pictures.
Okay, hold on. Let me go to Twitter. I'm verified on Twitter, by the way. Just a little
oh shit
note for you.
Hey, wait, how many times have you told us this?
Only about 8 or 9. Is it the stupid? Why is their Twitter avatar just like a bunch of stripes?
They changed it from the logo, Brian. I'm checking it right now.
Maybe Christ. It was like a beta.
They might have wiped it already from the internet.
I hope so.
Maybe it was a beta test.
It's truly bad.
It was terrible.
Maybe they're like, let's just float this out there and see how people respond, and people probably shit on it. So I had not seen that. And you know what? I Googled it, and there was no like relevant news stories other than that I heard that they were bringing the orange uniforms back, which I'm a proponent of. I think the orange uniforms are fine. I think it's cool. It's, you know, it's the Orange Crush. It's fun. It's different. But I have not seen that logo.
That's amazing that they somehow scrubbed this from the internet already, because it existed, Brian. I'm not fucking crazy, am I?
If you're crazy, then I'm crazy too.
It existed, and I cannot find a trace of it anymore. So maybe the Bears scrubbed it immediately. The Bears are the first people in the history of the internet to successfully scrub something from the internet.
Well, we'll have to circle back on this, and if we need to record something more, I can give you a little 10-second soundbite of this sucks.
There we go. Back to the matter at hand. Where does Baker Mayfield go?
To your Jets, Beto.
I think he's going to the Jets.
You don't sound happy, though.
I have been studying these quarterbacks for the past 2 years, except for Mayfield, actually. I looked at 2016 tape for Allen, Darnold, Rosen, other guys in this draft class, and then I looked at 2017 tape for all those guys, and then Mayfield. Baker, there are some good things and some bad things. I think he really does a good job of throwing guys open. He throws with anticipation. His accuracy can't be stopped at. And you have to give him credit for winning games. I mean, that's something that neither Rosen, Darnold, or Allen can contend with. Baker Mayfield won more games at the collegiate level. I think Mayfield is a byproduct of a really, really, really good collegiate offense. And I think playing against the Big 12, obviously, that's been, you know, that narrative has been said multiple times about quarterbacks. They're not really facing the stiffest competition from Big 12 defenses. I think, you know, I think what Baker Mayfield did is incredibly impressive. And I think there is an offense that fits him. I think with the Jets, especially, because the Jets are probably going to roll with a West Coast-ish sort of offense. I think Baker can make the short throws. He's got the downfield arm. If you can pair him up with some receivers who are really, really, really good at getting separation and doing some crazy things after the catch, I think that's the type of offense that Mayfield can thrive in, rather than working with just stand really good route runners who, you know, might not be the most athletic players. Because his receivers made a lot of plays for him in Oklahoma. I like Baker. I think I do a 30-point scale when I grade these quarterbacks, and I gave him a 25. You know, I can't judge a guy's character. Someone I haven't met, I don't like doing that. But you know, the size thing is a problem too. I'm really conflicted on him because I think he does some good things, but I also think he's going to be a guy where he might need to sit a year, and he might need an offensive coach who's sort of innovative and maybe embracing the college game. Someone like, you know, just an innovative offensive coach, because I think in general the NFL needs to start recognizing that these quarterbacks at large are not prepared at the collegiate level to play in a pro-style offense. So I think if Mayfield can find the right coach with the, you know, with the ability to sort of mesh what his scheme is to what Mayfield does best, then I think he has a really good chance to succeed. And I guess you can say that about any quarterback, but I think especially with a guy like Mayfield who comes from this, you know, sort of chuck it and gun it and one read pass and screen passes and swing passes and not a ton of downfield reads, I think you really need to develop an offense that does what he does best.
Well, for your sake, I really hope he pans out, Matt.
I think he's going three. I mean, Rosen's my guy. I like Rosen. I think he's the best pure pocket passer. He's not nearly as athletic as Darnold or Baker. But, you know, I think the whole narrative about him being too smart or not being interested in football is really overblown. And, you know, guys who are too smart, who have played quarterback, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, those are all pretty witty guys who aren't afraid to speak their minds. So Rosen's my guy. I think you need that sort of intellectual sort of mentality when you play this position, especially with how complex defenses are getting. I think Mayfield will be the guy at three because I think the Giants take Josh Rosen at two.
Wow. I have one last question, Pete. Do you have any others?
I do not. Finish up.
All right. Who has the biggest day one? Who's the winner? Who's the team we're talking about for the next week saying, holy cow, they're going to be so good this year?
Oh, so good this year?
Yep.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I mean, the Patriots could have a really good day if they – even if whether they stand pat, whether they trade back, they could have a really good day. You know, I think Buffalo, if they can get that quarterback, they could have a really good draft and just pick their best player on their board at 21 or whatever other pick they have. I don't know if they're going to be good next year, but the team that can really win the draft per se is Cleveland, simply because they have the most draft capital like ever in an NFL draft. I mean, it starts with the two of the first four picks, and it trickles down from there. I think Cleveland's going to have a ton of ability to maneuver. They're going to trade up. I'm sure they're going to find guys they love and trade up and package some of those picks, but they have a lot of draft capital. You kind of think of Cleveland, it's like, oh, they'll screw it up, they're Cleveland. But they're in a prime position to really nail this draft and have a franchise-changing draft. And I'm sure we've said that before about the Browns, but – you know, two picks in the top four and a ton in the second and third and fourth rounds, they could really hit a home run. And I don't think they'll be competing for a playoff spot because Hugh Jackson is still their coach, but they could have the foundation for something great when they fire Jackson after a 3-13 season and move on to the next guy.
All right. Thanks again to Matt Barbato, NewYorkJetFuel.com. Thanks for coming on and good luck in the draft. Hopefully you get your guy, but if you get Baker, I think he'll be all right.
We'll see. I you know what? And just to close, I feel like this quarterback class is so crazy because we can't get there's no consensus on any of these guys in the top four. So that's why I think overall this is going to be one of the weirdest, craziest, wackiest drafts we've seen. And I think it could be crazier than last year where we saw three teams trade up into the top 12 or whatever to get quarterbacks. So I think this could be a really fun draft. You can check my Twitter, my verified Twitter account to see how I'm doing on draft night if it is Baker Mayfield.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Follow Matt at Real Matt Barbato, correct?
Yep, there's only one, just me. I'm the real one. No, don't follow the other imposters. Don't follow the haters. It's at Real Matt Barbato. And then, yeah, if you want to follow my Jets site, at New York Jet Fuel.
There we go. Keep them cards clean, Matt.
Thanks again to Matt Barbato, NewYorkJetFuel.com, one of our most recurring guests. And always fun to talk to you about NFL things. With the Mitt Romney thing happening, him taunting Russell Westbrook, we decided to go top five celebrity fans. So, Pete, what are your top five?
All right. Starting with five, I'm going to do a couple here. Migos and 2 Chainz for the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
They even made 2 Chainz the CEO for the day, which is just a brilliant marketing scheme. Number four, Matthew McConaughey for Texas. He has made –
All right.
I would pay a lot of money to hear all the motivational speeches that he's given to them. Three, W for the Rangers.
Mm.
I don't know if it counts because he's also a part owner, but
W.
I'll give it to him. Number two, Obama for the Sox because we need some big fans on our side.
Yeah.
And then number one, Marlins man, of course.
Wow. Taking the cop out there with Marlins man. He's currently just man. He's no longer Marlins man. He's just man. Free agent waiting to sign.
Would he be known as like if he changed the like Rangers man? If he changed teams?
He said whoever's willing to grab him, he'll change his name to blank team man if he has to.
That would be the most, like, the only way I would accept that happening is if he got a custom-made orange version of whatever jersey he went to.
See, I think he has to go to Baltimore. I think he just has to keep the orange going.
I want it to be like a team that's completely different from Orange, like a
like the White Sox, black, white, yeah, like, and silver.
Yeah, like give me a like a bright orange White Sox jersey behind home plate next to the behind that, next to the M&M's guy every game.
A bright
game.
Orange Griffey or like Manny White Sox jersey.
Oh, I would 100% go for that.
Oh man. All right, my five, I had to do Mitt at number 5. Like I said earlier in the show, he just pulled off the jersey over the button-down shirt way too well for me to not love it. Number 4 is Ben Affleck with the Red Sox. They had a history of losing on his birthday. I think it was something like 14 years in a row they had lost on his birthday. So shout out to him. Number 3, Ashton Kutcher. He's a Bears fan. Just so you know.
He's really handsome.
Yeah, handsome man. Number 2 is Ray Romano with the New York Jets. They actually have a like 4-foot-tall mural looking picture in MetLife Stadium of Ray Romano just standing there, like looking as if he got caught off guard.
No, they don't.
In a Jets sweatshirt. I swear to God.
Oh my God. Hold on. Give me 1 second. I'm looking this tough.
And then my number 1 is Carrie Underwood as a Nashville Predators fan because she's Carrie Underwood.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Yes. Those are our 5. There are tons of other celebrity fans out there. Give us your input at LMBF Sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or comment on this post. We'll go to stats. I've got a couple, so I'm going to reel them off real quick. The biggest decline in NHL viewership was the New York Rangers with a 36% drop. Second was the Chicago Blackhawks dropping 29%.
We don't support losing.
That's a fact. Chicago does not support losing.
Except for the Bulls, because they still have the league in attendance.
Yes. The NBA announced today that 236 players, 181 from colleges, and 55 international have filed early entry for the 2018 NBA draft. So that's all guys that are not seniors. That's not including the seniors that have filed for the NBA draft. Just so you guys know, there are only 60 draft picks. So 236 people have applied. Not all of them will obviously stay because a lot of them didn't hire agents, but that math doesn't add up.
It's quite a lot, Brian.
Just wanted to make the people aware. What stats do you have?
All right, I have 2. Or no, I only have 1, actually. Sorry. The San Jose Sharks were the only NHL team ever to clinch a series on the Golf Channel.
Shout out the San Jose Sharks. Look at that.
What ended up happening with that? Why was it like, why were any of those games on the Golf Channel?
It's an NBC affiliate, so they probably just needed to put it somewhere.
Just shoving the NHL playoffs on some random channel.
I kind of love the move, to be honest with you. Just force their sport on other people. Golf, a very watch my sport, love my sport type crowd. And hockey is also the same way.
Oh, yeah. definitely stick with a white demographic. Sticking it onto the golf channel watchers.
Yes. Is that all you had?
Yeah.
Okay. What tweets did you have?
All right. I have 3 here. The first one was that the Orlando Magic released a tweet with the graphic. And the tweet said, Shelvin Mack with the dimes. And it was a graphic showing Shelvin Mack led the Orlando Magic this season with 3.9 assists per game.
And dropping dimes.
And it was just a picture of Shelvin Mack looking absolutely gassed and just miserable and that he didn't want to be there at all.
Hey, that's what happens sometimes. That's the Orlando Magic.
Orlando is just a pit of misery when it comes to basketball. That should be another ride at Disney World. Pit of misery. Second one, this is a Rick Riley joke, if I've ever heard one. This comes from Brian Batko. I don't know who this is. When people ask Derwin James what his goals are, he just says his first name slowly.
Derwin. That's... All right.
God, it's stupid. And finally, just the fact that Katie said it was a complete accident that he liked the comment on Instagram criticizing that the Thunder couldn't play with Russ.
Oh, man. Kevin Durant always getting himself in trouble. He does not know how to use Twitter. He should never be allowed. to do it.
He's so bad at social media, and he refuses to admit it. Like, he was so testy on Bill Simmons' podcast about every little thing they like poked him about.
And he's the worst. He's really the worst.
I try so hard to like the guy, but he's just such a. Yeah, I genuinely don't like him as a person.
Be careful. He might come after you if you say too many negative things.
We are the exact definition of blog boys that he talks about.
So. Not as KD Trey 5, though. He'll come at you as John Simpleton from Smallville, Ohio, or something.
I got to thank him, though. I named his my fantasy team this year after his burner Instagram account, and we won the championship undefeated.
Look at that. Look at that.
Choir Sultan.
God. I have three tweets as well. First one is Toledo, the University of Toledo, put out a tweet saying they would change their mascot to Shrek if they got 500,000 retweets. They took it down after it got to 191,000, I think it was. They were averaging 1,000 retweets a minute.
Why did they think this wouldn't like result in disaster?
It makes no sense, but I think you've got to stick by it. Why wouldn't you want to be the Toledo Shreks?
Every corporation that has a public naming competition ends poorly. Like Bodie McBoatface, we already went through that debacle.
Oh, man. I love the idea, though. Like, name your team Shrek and just wear, like, gross-ass green jerseys. That'd be hilarious.
And can you imagine the revenue they could pull in just by, like, having the character, like the mascot, dress up as Shrek or Donkey,
right? That'd be fucking hysterical.
I would love it.
The next one is a video Juju Smith-Schuster posted on Twitter. It was, I was wondering for the longest time how my dog Bougie, which we'll get to in a minute, was getting out of his cage. Look what happens! It's like a baby crate type cage.
Okay.
I don't know how to describe it, but it's got no top. It's just tall walls, and the dog just jumps to the top and then like flips its body over. It's crazy.
What kind of dog is this?
I think it's a French bulldog or a pug.
Oh, it's that athletic that it can.
Yes. So you need to see that video, but his dog's name is Bougie.
Does he have another dog named just Bad?
I don't think so. I think he just has Bougie.
I like the name. I don't know if it fits for a pug or French bulldog, but
The video is incredible. Like, everyone has to see it. I'm going to try and retweet it from the LMBF main account, but check that out. And then my last one, not sports related, but Old Takes Exposed was all over it. Allison Mack, who's an actress from actually Smallville, tweeted at Emma Watson, who's a very well-known philanthropist, back in January of 2016, saying, "Emma Watson, I'm a fellow actress like yourself and involved in an amazing women's movement I think you'd dig. I'd love to chat if you're open." She was recently arrested within the last week for running a sex trafficking ring.
Well, that's not funny, but Jesus Christ.
It's not funny, but just the fact that there's that tweet out there, and Emma Watson is like one of the most well-known, strongest feminist people on earth, and she happened to tweet at her wanting to get involved in an amazing women's movement and then gets arrested for sex trafficking. Hey, again, the sex trafficking is not funny. The situation surrounding it is funny.
Hey, you know what? Maybe if Emma Watson followed up with her, she would have avoided being in the sex trafficking.
That's a good point. That's a good point. What other butterflies does that knock off? You never know.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't even want to know. If anything bad happened to Emma Watson, I wouldn't be able to take it.
Don't even get me started. As always, we'll close up the week with what we're looking forward to this weekend. Pete, what do you got?
Spring is actually finally here.
Spring has sprung.
I drove home with my windows open today, and I'm going to play at least 36 holes of golf.
Look at that. Very ambitious. I am excited because I have a weekend off. It's rare, but like you said, the weather's been great. I'm going to sit outside, probably get some vitamin D, and 95% chance I am day drinking one of these days. So I'm very excited about that.
God bless.
As always, you can check us out. Letmebefrankblog.com, at LMBF Sports, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Any final words?
No, follow, subscribe.
We'll see you next week.